is Jack Nicklaus hitting out of a berry blind.
Yes, welcome back to another Pro Preview on the Teed Up Golf Podcast, brought to you by Golfbox, our new partners. So if you haven't heard that one, we've teamed up with Golfbox. Jump over there to Australia's number one online golfing retailer. Have a look at their extensive range. Incredible stuff. I know Ty just bought a new set of irons off them. I bought a t-shirt the other day. I even bought a torque tool for my new driver. Next day delivery, absolutely amazing. So jump over there to Golfbox. I'm joined by our resident professionals on this week's episode of the Pro Preview, like every other week, believe it or not, except last week. Ty Lawson, welcome back, mate.
Thanks for having me this week.
I'll stop jiving you about the Masters preview. It was only because you were salty. And Big McGill up there at the Berwick Montuna driving range, another free ad. How are you, great man?
I'm okay. You told me you wasn't going to be here again, and now we're back to it.
I'm surprised you're here after carrying the weight of the podcast last week on your own.
I know how I feel every week, you peanut. Let's get into it, boys. Big week. LPGA Tour, first major of the year, the Chevron, the RBC Heritage, an elevated event, or whatever they call it these days, on the PGA Tour, and the Saudi Open on the Asian Tour. We're going to run you through a deep dive into each of these events, and we're kicking it off this week with the LPGA Tour, the first major of the year, the Chevron. Incredible event. Now, the women's game is absolutely flying at the moment. Nellie Korda is in Scheffler territory, having run four on the trot, which is absolute scene. She's only 25 years old, Nellie Korda, boys. So it's pretty incredible what's going on there. But the Chevron, 132 player field. The course is the club at Carlton Woods, the Woodlands in Texas. It's a par 72, 6,824 yards. It's Jack Nicklaus declared this creation to be among the finest designs of his career, and it was named the best new private course in Texas, the number three new private course in the US about 20 years ago or something like that. So it's getting better and better. Plenty of trees and undulations to contend with. Unquestionably a suitable major test, so it's perfect for these girls. Aussie history, Kari Webb won the Chevron in 2006 and 2000, and Lilia Vu is the defending champion. So it's going to be a great event. You know, women's golf, especially the Aussie contingent, I think we've got seven players playing this week. They're over there at the Chevron. It's going to be a very, very cool event to watch. Now, boys, I'll just keep talking, and I'm going to run us through the Aussie list and the girls who are playing, and then we'll get our tips and predictions off you boys for the week. So Minji Lee's number five in the world, our best-ranked Aussie female golfer. Best result here at the Chevron was tied third back in 2017. She's not missed a cut here since 2006. Number five in the world in the Callaways now. Should be starting to find some form after adjusting to a new equipment. Hannah Green, number 16 in the world, our second highest ranked player. Best result here was back in 2022 for a tied eighth. Already has a win to her name this year. She won the HBC Women's World Championship early March, late Feb. Gabby Ruffles, rookie season on the LPGA Tour, has had a great 8 weeks. Tied 28th at the match play a couple of weeks ago, tied 13th the week before, tied 3rd and then tied 15th. So had a great 8 weeks, Gabby Ruffles. Grace Kim played this event for the first time last year, missed the cut, but she's now a winner on the LPGA Tour, second year with a full card. Rarely misses a cut, you know, very long and straight player. So Grace Kim is there as well. Steph Kiriakou tied 49th last year, tied 18th a couple of weeks ago on the match play. A very, very good player with heaps of potential. The veteran of the Aussie camp is Sarah Kemp. Best result here was back in 2012. Brad, you were just a sprout back then, and she finished tied 66th back then at the Chevron. And the new girl on the block from the Australian standpoint is Hira Navid, who finished second to Nellie Korda last week at the Ford Championship, just her second LPGA Tour start. She qualified from the Epsom Tour through the Order of Merit last year, her first major. So she's got huge upside. She went from 648th in the world to 105th after that result last week. And then Carice Davidson, good friend of the podcast. If you haven't listened to our chat with Carice, she's also pegging it up this week. So it'll be great event, boys. I think there's eight women, actually. I said seven, but there's eight of them over there ready to take them on over there in Texas. So looking forward to it. We'll get now into our predictions to the professionals and the boys who know what's going on in the world of golf. Kick off with you, Bradley, before you fall asleep up there in Berwick. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm excited for this one, Q. I love the major golf, and I think we've got some really, really live chances in the Aussie women. So I'm really excited to see how this one goes. I am not going to be silly. I tipped against Scottie Scheffler in the Masters, and I deep down regret that decision. So I'm not going to be silly and tip against Nellie Korda. I think, you know, to come off four straight wins, she was one shot out of the playoff at this event last year at the same golf course. As I said, I'm fool me once. Was it fool me once, shame on you, fool me once, twice, shame on me. So I'm going to stick with Nelly.
We'll go with that. What are you winning?
I'm going Nelly Korda as well. It's a very obvious one. She's number one in the world, four on the trot. She's actually had three top three finishes on this course in the last 4 years. I think her odds this week should be shorter than Scottie Scheffler's were last week.
Yeah, well, Scottie Scheffler, I wanted to back him last week, but I thought he was too short to back. But we're in the business of tipping our listeners into winners. And I'm going Nellie Korda as well because, you know, the form she's in is just absolutely incredible. If Scheffler wasn't going this good on the PGA Tour, Nellie Korda would be the talk of the whole golfing world with the form that she's in. So Nellie Korda for me as well, boys. We'll move on to our bolter and people we think are going to have a good finish this week. Bradley, who's your top 10 for you?
Yeah, so for me, I'm going to go with Kim A. Lim. She's a 28-year-old from South Korea. She finished fourth in this event last year, and she also finished third in the Evian Championship, another major for the LPGA ladies. And then she's also won the US Open back in 2020. So she's had a missed cut in a 22nd place so far this season. But, yeah, she usually turns up in the majors, so I'm expecting her to rise up and finish in the top 10.
Nice. Tobin?
I'm going for, I'll get this wrong, Nanna Koerstz Madsen, who's from Denmark. She's currently 125th in the world, so she's definitely a bit of a long shot this week. But I like her recent form. Her last two starts have been 30th place, and then she finished 12th in the match play. And also like her performances on this particular course in the last few years, where she's finished 28th, 8th, and 3rd over the last 3 years. So, yeah, she's my pick this week.
Big chance. We love it. I'm going with Grace Kim. I'm sticking with the Aussie theme. First major last year was at the Chevron. She missed the cut, but she had a 14th and a 13th at the PGA and the US Open. She's just a really good player. Keeps the ball in play. Has a super strong short game. She's already a winner on the LPGA Tour. She's won a couple of times here on the Aussie Tour. I've had Grace on the podcast. Her attitude's unbelievable. Second year, she's had a couple of weeks off now since they had the break the last couple of weeks. The girls, I think she's one who we're just going to see win something in the next couple of years. She's kind of like our Cam Davis, sort of, you know, just plodding along, and we'll see her sort of get up there. She's very, very good player. So I don't think you can count her out for having a top 10 finish in the near future in a major. So why not this one for Grace Kim? It's going to be a great event. Make sure you tune and watch, because it's all going to be on KO this week for the Chevron. 132 player field. First of five majors for the year. For those who aren't aware, they have five majors in the women's game. So first of five. Aussies have a great history with majors. So I'm sure that we'll see one of our girls up there in lights, be it Minji, be it Hannah, be it Grace, be it Steph, be it Sarah Kemp, who knows, here in Aviv in her first major. It's going to be a great story to tell next week when we're reviewing this. Move now to the PGA Tour, an elevated event. Bradley, you've our resident professional this week who's had a look at that for us, the RBC Heritage at the famous Harbour Town. What do you got for us, great man?
Yeah, so the I love this event at Harbour Town Golf Links. It's a par 71. It's measuring just over 7,000 yards. As designed by the famous Pete Dye with the help of Jack Nicklaus, so not too many greater people you can get to design a golf course. It's one of the shorter golf courses on tour, but the defence is the small greens they have there. So they're an average of 340 square metres compared to 610 square metres for tour average. So almost half the size, which is going to be interesting to watch. You're going to have to be very, very precise with your irons. There's also some very, very tight fairways with overhanging trees. So you have to make sure you're on the correct side of the fairways to even have a clear shot at the green. So I'll be interested to watch that and the creative shots that some of the players are going to have to do. The history last year, Matt Fitzpatrick had that famous win on the third playoff hole against Jordan Spieth, almost holing that 9-9 on the 18th hole. He had sort of about, I think it was 10 or 15 yards different and hit the exact same shot. And yeah, it said almost hold it. So that was really, really awesome to watch. And it's great to see the best players back it up after the Masters. So, you know, two great weeks of golf, which is exciting for everybody. So in saying that, Q, the stats to watch and what I'm expecting the winner to do to get the job done is last year all of the top five players were inside the top 20 for strokes gained approach. So that's another important stat, especially with those small greens. And the top four are inside the top eight strokes gained tee to green. So you also have to be pretty straight off the tee. And then even you basically got to have an all-round game because four of the five are inside the top 20 of strokes gained putting as well. So once you've hit those small greens, you've got to roll those putts in. And in saying that, Q, I'm just going to keep it rolling. I'm going to go straight into my winner for this week. I've done it. Yeah, I said I led, as Ty said, I led that Masters preview last week, so I'm feeling a little bit more comfortable. So my winner this week.
Victor Hovland's pulled out, by the way. Does that mean he's going to live?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. For me, I don't think Victor's got enough major, like locked up majors in the next years to go to live just yet. I think if he wins a major, he might jump across, but not just yet.
Okay, fair enough. Carry on.
All right, so I'm not going to pick Victor Hovland. I'm actually going to go with Patrick Cantlay to win this week at the RBC Heritage. He was one shot out of the playoff last year, and he lost in a playoff in 2022. He's coming off a 22nd place in the Masters where he finished four over in his last three holes, which cost him a top 10 finish. But some of the stats that stand out for me for Patrick is that he was fourth in strokes gained off the tee in 2023 and 16th in strokes gained approach. And unfortunately, this year so far, he's 149th in strokes gained approach. So he's really struggling, but he's just switched over to some pink blueprint irons last week, and he was 10th in strokes gained approach at Augusta. So a real big improvement there. And I think Patrick will get the job done here after two close finishes in 2022 and 2023.
You love Paddy Ice, don't you? Do you think he's wearing a hat this week or no hat?
I think he'll be taking the hat off to wave at the crowd when he gets a dub.
Ty, who you got winning?
I've got Colin Morikawa this week. He's been struggling this year. He started the season with a fifth place finish in Hawaii. And since then, he hasn't really finished in the top 20 at all. So last week, coming out at the Masters, finishing in the tie for third was a bit of a surprise, despite being an absolute, obviously, flusher. He was tied for the lead with 10 holes to go before he made double bogey on 9 and 11, so dropped well behind Scheffler in the end, but still a very strong finish. Love him this week because statistically his game fits Harbour Town perfectly. He's one of the greatest approach players in the world, very accurate off the tee as well. He's played here four times, finished 7th in 2021 and three other made cuts, but was well down the leaderboard. And yeah, I just like him because if you go through his career, he goes on runs where he'll have a 2 or 3 month sort of stretch where he'll struggle to finish in the top 20, which is what he's been doing. And then once he finds form, he'll usually pick off a win and have 4 or 5 top 20s, top 10s, and really contend for a 2 or 3 month stretch. And I think we're about to see that over the coming couple of months. So during major season, I think Colin Morikawa is going to just remind everyone that he is one of the greats.
I hope so. Like Colin with double L. Cam Davis for me, you know, maybe not the forgotten man for much longer in Aussie golf. His recent form, he was in contention at the Masters last week, and his course history, like you said before, Brad, course history is really important here at Harbour Town. Tied 25th, tied 3rd, and tied 7th in his first three appearances. Hasn't had a great start in 2024. He turned a corner at the Houston Open with a tied 21st, gained across all four strokes gained categories. Top 20s early in the season at Pebble Beach and the Arnold Palmer. You know, he plays well in their signature events and big money events. He just loves cash, big Cam Davis. He ranks top 10 in course history as well, strokes gained, tee to green on the comp course as well. So yeah, I'm going with Cam Davis to get another win and follow on from his great form at the Masters this week. Bradley?
Yeah, well, I'm actually, for my top 10, Cam Davis actually qualified, so I'm going to go with Cam.
Ooh.
I'm going with Cam for my top 10. Yeah, your stats sort of, I've already had written down. He's coming in some great form, was really good at Augusta. He was 10th in strokes gained putting at Augusta and 12th in strokes gained approach, which was a massive stats for this week. And yeah, he's just a Rolls Royce and an absolute ball striker, so I think he'll go well and probably not win, but he'll finish top 10 Q.
Nice. Ty?
I'm running with Taylor Moore this week for a top 10 or to do well. He's only played this event once, and that was last year, finishing 11th. He played the Masters and finished in a tie for 20th on 3 over par, and that was only in his second Masters appearance. So very good result for him last week. And going into that, he had really good form. His two prior starts were a tie for 2nd at the Houston Open, And was also finished a shot outside the top 10 at the Valspar. So I think Taylor Moore just keeps on rolling.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm allowed to tip this guy to finish in the top 10, but with the form he's in, I'm going with it. In Jordan Spieth, and I make the rule, so we're going with it. Jordan Spieth to have a good week this week. I didn't want to tip him to win because I'm not confident in the way that he's going, but I think he's just one to watch for the punters out there if you're going to have a go. Shot a 79 first round at Augusta on Friday for us. Double bogeyed the first. Then he had a 9 on the 15th. So it's very un-Jordan Spieth-like, the form that he's in. You know, is something going to change? Is he going to change caddies? Is he going to change coaches? He's got to find something that's working for him. He sort of haven't seen him do anything amazing. He won this event back in 2022. So going back to that course history, hanging my hat on that. I think he'll be angry with the way that he's going at the moment, Jordan Spieth, and I feel like he's a real competitor. He's ranked number 18 in the world. I think he's a better player than that, especially with some of the guys who are up there in sort of the top 12, like Henleys and those people. I think that Spieth's a better all-round player than him, or should be anyway. So I think Jordan will just find something this week, and class will rise to the top, and we'll see him back up in lights, which would be cool because I think him contending back over in majors in the next for the back end of the year would be great for the game. I like the way he goes about it. So, got Spieth for me.
Nice one.
Am I allowed to have it?
I'll pay it. Yeah, I want to see him do well. I think the PGA Tour need the likes of Spieth to actually contend and be up there. A lot of the big names obviously have left, and a lot of the winners this year have been sort of lesser known players. And it'd be good for one of the superstars to jump up and do well outside of Scottie Scheffler.
Yep, thank you. Love that. Let's move on now to the Saudi Open. The PIF are funding this. Are they boycotting or are they playing it? Ty, you're the man on the ground.
Yeah, so the Saudi Open is presented by the PIF. It is played at the Riyadh Golf Club. This tournament was elevated to the Asian Tour last season, where it was actually only played 4 months ago in December. Denwit Boribunsub was the winner then. He was the guy who dominated the development tour and then jumped up to the Asian Tour and picked up a win straight away, beating Henrik Stenson by 3 shots.
Denwit.
The course is known as the Pearl of the Desert, and there are plans to expand the property to contain a lot more than just the 18 holes that they currently have there. Cool. It's very much like all the other desert sort of courses. It's quite long and wide open with rolling undulations and large lakes scattered across the property. And there's a 5 live guys teamed up this week trying to get those world ranking points. They are Peter Uihlein, Andy Ogletree, Henrik Stenson, David Puig, however you pronounce that one, and Eugenio Chikara.
Puig, I believe.
And we've got a lot of Aussies in the field this week, so I'll quickly run through them. There's actually a lot of them. So Daniel Gale, Wade Ormsby, Trav Smythe, Dean Lawson, Kevin Yuan, Zach Murray, Todd Sinnott, Jack Thompson, Scott Hend, Jed Morgan, Justin Warren, Aaron Wilkins, Sam Brazel, Mav Ancliffe, Jordan Zunick, Harrison Crowe, Lachlan Barker, and Doug Klein are all pegging it up. A lot of Aussies. Hopefully there's quite a few of them up there towards the back end of the tournament.
Yeah, it'd be great. And if you haven't listened to the Harrison Crowe episode we dropped just before the Masters on Thursday, go back and have a look. Listen to Harrison. We chat about his turning professional, playing at the Masters last year, and all that stuff as well. So Harrison's one of the good up-and-comers in Aussie golf. Absolute ripping kid. His dad, when he was playing in the Asia-Pacific Amateur over in Thailand when he qualified for the Masters, had a deal with him that his old man and his mate would drink a beer per birdie. And I think he had like 5 birdies on the back 9 to win the tournament. So he said dad and that were well lubricated by the time the final putt went in, which is a cool story. And he tells some really cool stories from the Masters as well. So go and have a listen to that if you haven't. Bradley, who you got winning?
Yeah, I'm going to go with David Puig to win. He's an international series king. He won international series Singapore late last year, second in international series Macau, and then the Oman edition he finished 10th, and then he's also first at the Malaysian Open this year. So he's only 22 years old. He's still yet to fire and live, but he's got a shitload of talent, and I think he'll win this week.
Nice. Tyler?
Yeah, I think Travis Smythe will get the win this week. He actually played in the 2023 Open, Saudi Open in December. He had a great week finishing in 3rd place. Since then, he's kept that form going, finishing 4th at the Vic Open down here at 13th, as well as picking up 3 other top 15 finishes on the Asian Tour, and 2 of those with international series events that obviously have the strong field, so great results there. It's been just over 18 months since his last professional win, and I can't see someone like of his talent sort of having to stretch too much longer than that without picking up another one. So Travis Smyth, I think if it's not this week, it's pretty soon that he gets another win.
Yeah, the king of coffee. The king of international coffee is Travis Smyth. Absolutely loves it. I'm going with one of the Liv guys as well, Peter Uline, who's been over at Liv since the very beginning. He actually, with Trav Smyth, believe it or not, played in the first team win when Trav qualified through the Liv qualifier for the first ever event at Liv London back into 2022, I believe it was. So there you go, Peter Uline rolled the winning putt in for the team that they were in that week. International series in Oman back in a couple of weeks ago. He finished in sixth, Peter Uline. He finished 12th overall on the Live Tour last year. A very good player. I think world ranking points are important to him, so that's why he's playing this event. Otherwise, the Live guys just don't play those events if they don't care about majors and sort of getting their world ranking in a good spot. As well as the Hong Kong Open back end of last year as well, tied 8th, so, and the Alfred Dunhill tied 22nd. So every time he's sort of gone out, apart from the Indonesian Masters when he missed the cut, but all the other starts he's had sort of back end of last year on the Asian Tour with the International Series, and obviously Oman at the start of this year, he's played really well. Too good a player not to probably win as well an event in the near future. His old man used to head up Titleist International. Peter Uline's dad was the top dog at Titleist for many, many years. So there's another fun fact that someone told me at Live last year, which I had no idea. So something interesting. But yeah, Peter Uline to get the job done for me, boys, which I don't think anyone saw me tipping that because I normally just go the favourites. I've started going that down that ilk, and the board behind me has got a few ticks next to it.
I think McGill got the favourite this week on that event.
Doesn't surprise me.
I think David Puge will be the favourite, I'd say.
Smart. Well, we can't. None of us can complain because we've all gone quarter. All got Cam Davis to go well, and yeah, good luck to all the girls at the Chevron as well. First of five majors for the year on the female tour, which be great. Make sure you support the Aussie girls. We'll be posting everything up on our socials throughout the week, like we did for the Masters, and we'll be celebrating their win. Hopefully, one of the girls will get up and get the W for Australian golf again this week. Boys, thanks for joining me. It's been a hell of a week into the Masters. Massive week next week with Live Adelaide hitting our shores, and we'll be over there on the ground with the crew. Being SD Workshop and myself will be on the ground over there. Shawnee's going over as part of the Clubby Sports team, and I'm heading over as well. So we'll be doing some cool interviews and collabs and stuff over there. So make sure you jump over to Tee It Up Pod. Make sure you support our friends at Golf Box. Thanks for tuning in again, and thanks for joining me, boys.
Thanks, Q. And just a quick one before we go, just a shout-out to all the guys that got their card at Q School late last week. Nathan Barbieri closed with a pretty incredible 29 on the back nine to get into a playoff and end up winning the Q School. But a big shout-out to Denzel Irimia, Maxi Charles, who I've had on the pod, Ryan Peake, who's a great Ryan episode. Peake. Go back and listen to that one if you haven't already.
Well, Peaky's coming on for a catch-up in the next couple of days. So, also, hang on for that.
So, yeah, great to see Peaky do that. And then one of my good mates, Bradley Kivimitz, who I think you might have played in with a Pro-Am a few weeks ago, Q. He's been working real hard through some injury and stuff and got his card. So, yeah, big shout-out. Some real good feel-good stories there. And looking forward to watching them on the Aussie Tour next season.
Yeah, I love that from Brad, because Bradley Avonmitz, because he did tell me when we're playing that it's going to be his last crack at Q School. If he doesn't sort of get a card and get it sorted, he's probably going to look another job. So good on him, third or fourth time's a charm, so good luck to him. It's great to see. But thanks for mentioning that, Brad. I did forget. But yeah, well done to all the guys, and can't wait to watch more Peg It Up on the Aussie Tour next year, which will be awesome. So well done, everyone.
Thanks, Q.
Catch you next week.
Good on you, fellas.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from Producers Clubby Sports Network. If you enjoyed the show, then it would be a massive help if you could like, follow, rate, subscribe, tap the bell, leave a review, or even share it with your friends. If you want to get in touch to share feedback, suggestions, or to advertise with one of our podcasts, then email hello@producy.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.